There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you. Here you are at last. Free yourself from past and walk into the new. Be guided by what's true.
Gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift. Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift. That's a very short poem. The box of darkness. The box of sorrow, the box of suffering. This world is so much full of sorrow. Unless and until one realizes this, there is no attempt to free oneself from this darkness. Darkness leads to darkness. Darkness leads to further darkness, deeper darkness. Darker darkness, darkest darkness. The very realization that this is darkness should bring about an attempt to seek light, to search light. But when this attempt is not done, life continues to be in the dark, and man lives his whole life as a series of darkness, as a battery of darkness. It is said that God first created donkey and told that donkey, whole life you will have to suffer. Whole life people will carry you, wait on you, and your life will be 50 years. So donkey says, oh Lord, what I will do with 50 years? Just give me 20 years. This is enough for me. God says, be it so. Then God created dog and he told him, you will have to eat leftover. You will have to guard the house. People will use your name as an abuse. And I give you life of 30 years. Dog says, what I will do with 30 years? I don't want. Give me a little less. God says, how much you want? So he says, 15 is enough for me. Just this much you give me. Then God creates monkey. And he tells him, you will keep on jumping from one branch to another. That will be your life. People will play with you. You will be a great entertainer. You will be like a joker. And I give you the life of 30 years. Monkey says, Lord, what I will do with such a life of 30 years? Better you give me a little lesser life. Maybe 15 years or 10 years, 15 years is enough for me. So God says, okay. So after creating donkey, then dog, and then monkey, God creates man. And he tells him, you are man. And I give you life of 20 years. Man says, only 20? What I will do with 20 years? Please give me something more. Please give me this additional life of 20 years of donkey, 15 years of dog, and 15 years of monkey. God says, okay, be it so. So he gets first 20 years of his life, he is man. Then he gets married. For next 20 years, he has to lift luggages. He has to carry burden. He has to take children to school. So 20 years. And then he becomes older. He has children. But now he has to guard his whole house. And sometimes he has to eat leftover. Because he doesn't want to waste. He is a responsible person. And then last 15 years of his life, he is a grandfather. His grandchildren play with him. So that is 15 years of monkey. So 15 years of dog. And 20 years of married. So this is what is life. That's why Baba says this world is a world of sorrow. This world is a cottage of sorrow. Shok Vatika. This is a Shok Vatika. There is hardly any stress of sorrow, any stress of happiness here. Anityam Asukham Lokam. This world is so temporary, so ephemeral, and there is not an iota of happiness anywhere. Every human being is suffering, and the suffering is so intense. And yet, nobody wants to come out of that suffering. The darkness is addictive. The darkness is intensely addictive. Once you are addicted to it, you don't want to see light. You become comfortable. Baba often gives the example of jailbirds. When you are in the jail, you don't have to earn. You don't have to think about your food. You don't have to think about accommodation. So you lead a very comfortable life. So these people who are jailbirds, they come out, again they commit some crime to go inside. So this going inside and coming out goes on. But without realizing that, this is not life. So this world has verily become a cottage of sorrow, suffering. Just for this one reason, Buddha left his house to find out what is the root cause of this sorrow, why everybody is suffering. And he found out the truth. He gave the truth to the world, but then that doesn't make us free from sorrow. Every human being, every man has to begin his own search for truth, for enlightenment. What is the cause of sorrow? Why, in spite of doing everything, there is still sorrow lurking in the heart? Why not the heart is totally light? The search should be intrinsically, should be intrinsic and should be exclusively alone, solo search. Without this search, you cannot get rid of it. So now again the question remains, what are the sources of happiness in this world? The greatest source of happiness is sense enjoyment. Eyes love to see something. Ears want to hear something. Tongue wants to taste something. Skin wants to touch something. So sense enjoyment. Second is all the paraphernalia of this world. All the facilities which are available. Comforts which are available. Money, wealth, luxury, they are said to be the source of happiness. Human beings, relationships, all entertainments, fashion, custom, rituals, food, these are all the music and games. They all give happiness. Okay, to some extent they are right. But they alone, these things alone cannot make us happy. Even in the Brahmin life, there is a very deep realization. On one side, we say, Baba says that you should have songs and everything for entertainment. But then, if you are too much into all these things, songs, music, dance, exercise and all other things, too much involvement in all these things will take you away from your goal. We are light workers, mental workers, spiritual workers. Our task should be entirely spiritual and focused. Because each one of this is a trap otherwise and can become the source of sorrow. Relationships, they are good, but they can become the source of sorrow. The moment expectations come in relationship, the moment ego comes in relationship, they all become the very cause of sorrow. Another thing, some deep analysis of this world indicate that there is a phenomenon in philosophy which is known as hedonic treadmill. Hedonic treadmill. This phenomenon says that suppose somebody is poor, without money, he is sorrowful, he is unhappy, he wants to become happy, he wants more money. Then suddenly he gets lottery and he becomes happy. So he feels that he has become happy. He did not have money, now he has got money. But after some time, his level of happiness reduces and comes to the same level what it was before. So now he has money, but still is unhappy. Earlier he did not have money, was unhappy. So after some time of achieving something, you again come to the same level of unhappiness. This phenomenon is known as hedonic treadmill. And this is not just about money. You are alone, you want a partner. So partner comes. So you are extremely happy because there was nobody till now. But after some time, you find that your happiness has disappeared. You come to the original level of unhappiness. Or rather, more unhappy. your happiness even may go down. So there is no question of a rise. There is no crescendo. Descendo. There is a down-going thing. So anything. Because the very desire is to seek happiness in the outside world is a disturbance, is a fallacy, is an illusion. There cannot be any happiness in persons, in objects, in things, in paraphernalia, in relationships. To some extent it is there, but the real happiness, the real source is within you. Unless and until you move inside, there is no happiness. You go and watch some person is unhappy, so they think, okay, let us go for entertainment, watch some movie. So they spend 3 hours watching a comedy movie. And after 3 hours, they come back. The sorrow is as it is. They wanted to escape this sorrow. The person wants to escape this sorrow. So he goes and sees movie, a comedy movie. So after that, when he comes back, the sorrow is as it is. It has not changed. So it was just an opium. Opium is something that makes you forget. It was just like alcohol. So some people go to alcohol. Some people go to entertainment. Some people go to religion. So whatever you do this here, this is just superficial for some time. Coming here to Brahmins, somebody is full of sorrow. So he says, let me try meditation. He does. Let me listen to Murli. He does. Let me do seva. He does. That's a good thing. Baba said you should not give up. Even if you are not willing, you must stick to this. But a time comes when these things are done without any inner involvement, without any intrinsic joy, without any happiness. So it becomes a routine, a boredom, just a sort of formality, a ceremonial. You go, you sit, you write, scribble something out in your diary and come out. You go, your yoga consists of just talking with, sharing with Baba. There is no experience of bodilessness. It is just a unilateral talk. Unilateral talk. And you feel that you are having yoga with Father. But there is no yoga at all. Like a man is there, he is sitting and talking with God. Oh God, my neighbor is, my daughter, my some relative is sick. So, please cure him. First day prayer. Second day prayer, my relative is sick. Please cure him. The third day, relative dies. He says, God, you did not cure him. You should have cured him. Okay, I'm angry with you. So he doesn't come to him now for next 2-3 days. Then he again comes. Okay, I forgive you. Even though you did not help, but still I forgive you. And he begins another story. So there is a complete unilateral talks. There is nothing from happening from the other side. There is something like this. So one has to understand, what are we doing? What is the basic, the root cause of sorrow? The sorrow is hidden deep within you, and all the outside things are something that will just make you forget that sorrow for a small time. It doesn't cure. For cure, you'll have to know the etiology of the disease. Without that, cure is not possible. So, you need to understand the basic structure of sorrow, the anatomy and the physiology of sorrow, or the worldly happiness, both. There are few things which are very common in all the worldly happiness. First, A. All happiness of this world, all the sense enjoyment, lead to attachments. They create a very deep sense of attachment. You enjoy a particular food, you are attached to that food. You enjoy a movie, you get attached to. You enjoy a song, you keep on humming the same song whole day because you get attached. So that song makes you a slave. So all the happinesses of this world are associated with attachments. You love somebody, you like somebody, you want to be with that person. You don't want to lose, and if that person is lost, you are sunk in happiness, unhappiness. So, dispassionate analysis of this world tells you that whatever you do here creates an attachment. That's why yogi is somebody who sees this world as everything as witness. The greatest definition of meditation is to be a witness. Everything is anitya. Everything is temporary. Coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. That is the only method to stay stable. Rather, to become, to attain the equipoise position is purity. Purity is samatha. Purity is equanimity. This is the greatest definition of purity. Purity is not just brahmachari. Purity is not just controlling of senses. Purity is not just getting rid of vices. Purity is to stay stable. That is purity. The definition of purity is pavitrata, is samatha. It is equanimity. You see every happening as temporary. People come and praise you. It is temporary. The same people will abuse you next day. Because that praise is also temporary, that abuse is also temporary. Everything is temporary. So first is attachment. Second is B. There is a big sorrow and small happiness in everything of this world. There is a big unhappiness and very small, big unhappiness and very small happiness. You get happy, but you have to pay for every happiness. And the payment is very high. Sense happiness, so much you have to spend. And especially the happiness, the sensual happiness which is coming from other, which is the form of lust. You have to pay so much price, your money, your energy, your words to please the person. You have to tell so many lies, you are so beautiful and so on and so forth. The love affairs of the world are nothing but bundle of lies. They keep on flattering each other and lying to each other. You are young. He is not young. He is old. See, craving. All the happiness of this world lead to craving. When you don't get, you crave. And the craving is a restlessness, intense restlessness. You just want it. You don't get it, you're unhappy. And you can't do anything in that moment of craving. Craving is such as intense. Craving has such an intensity, you forget all gyan, all yoga. In the moment of craving, you can do anything. You can go and steal, even kill somebody, if you don't get. Then D is deception. The happiness, it appears just on the surface. In fact, it is just a deception. It is a will-o'-the-wisp oasis in the desert. You feel it is there. It's not there. You feel something is shining out there. There is water. You run. You're thirsty. But there is no water. It's a marichika. It's a will-o'-the-wisp. It's an oasis. E. Exertion. Whatever happiness you want in this world, you have to exert so much. If people spend their whole life in getting money, in building house. We are living in a rented house, for example. And then I want my own house. I spent 10 years. Why I want one house? Because so that I can live in peace, in happiness, without anxiety. So after 10 years, my house is built. My own house. My name is there. Registered in my name. But now, 10 years, I was restless, unstable. That sanskar I am carrying in this home, in this house. So I am still unhappy. In spite of the fact, same hedonic treadmill. House is there, house is not there. You feel you don't have a jacket. The other person is wearing a jacket. I need that jacket. So you get that jacket. After a few days, you get bored. Same level of unhappiness. You have a mobile, you want this particular mobile. You get that cell phone, after some days, the happiness is same, unhappiness. E. Then F is flitting, temporary. It is there today, it's not there tomorrow. So, as a detached observer, we see that whatever that is happening here, success, degrees, qualifications, they are just temporary. They will not help you. You must know the art of swimminology, not oceanology, meteorology. When the boat is about to sink, your degrees and your qualifications will not help you. G. All the worldly enjoyment, sensual happiness is enemy of gyan. Gyan is the path of burning, to slay each passion each day. The worldly sensual happiness, they inflame your passions. The passions are doubled and redoubled. And they cause you intense suffering, intense pain, intense restlessness. That's why yogi stays detached. And last H, all the happiness of this world, that is habit forming. They create a sanskar. They create a sanskar. Sankalp creates vritti and karma creates sanskar. A karma which is repeated creates a sanskar. You keep on calling somebody. One day you call, second day you call, third day you feel like to call up that person and talk with him. For no reason. But you want to talk with that person. You love to talk with that person because karma is repeated, sanskar is created. So also a sankalpa is repeated and sankalpa creates vrittis, vrittis ripples, and they spread vibrations into the atmosphere. So, verily this world is the cottage of sorrow. So the journey is from cottage of sorrow to the cottage of happiness, Ashok. From Shok Vatika to Ashok Vatika. But first of all, Sita must realize that I am in jail of Ravan. But now the Sita is in the jail of Ravan, but she is enjoying there. She doesn't want to come. Ram says, I am coming to take you. She said, don't come. Hanumana is coming. She sends him back. I don't want your ring or anything. I am living life of comforts here. Ravan is providing me everything. all delicious food which I did not have with you, with so many servants. So Sita is enjoying kingdom of Ravan. Spirituality is the path of revolution, boycott, withdraw. You have to uprising, mutiny. You have to rise in revolt against the kingdom of Ravan, so that you can usher into the kingdom of Ram. Om Shanti.